Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Friday to everyone. Gorgeous day out there. How are we?
We good.
We good?
Yeah. I'm good.
Were you hinting at me to scratch your back there? Rubbing yourself on the wall?
No, I just
like
do
a
what
bear?
I do. Is yeah, if I get an itch, I go up to a corner on a wall and I just gonna do the bear. Get it. You know what's really good?
Yeah.
Like a chain link fence. Those are the best.
A chain link fence?
They do a great job. I'm not even kidding you.
You need to get one of those.
Shredding up the back of his shirt. Metal fence.
You know how farmers make those cow brushes that are out there that the cows can go up and rub up against them?
Yeah, there you go.
Actually, I just need one of the. I think I'm going to get. I got to get onto Amazon and just order little back scratchers.
We got to get Kevin a scratching post. That's what we got to do.
That'd be great.
Stick with a rag on it.
Yeah.
That's Kevin's cat tree.
And wash up.
There's got to be a metal looking back scratcher out there
somewhere.
I think
I said this a couple weeks ago, and it just made me laugh. There was a meme that said, you know that when people were tortured and killed on the rack, there was about 20 seconds that felt amazing.
That's really funny.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, man, that's good.
Oh, wait, whoa.
Stop. So I just went into Amazon, and I started to type in back scratcher, and it says back scratcher for men and then also back scratcher for women. There's a difference?
Oh.
Maybe one's longer.
You don't
longer.
Want a girly one.
Yeah.
The women's one is just pink.
They just look like the same thing.
It has breasts.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, it's not a back scratcher for women. It's a women back scratcher.
Okay.
That took me a second.
Hey, these are kind of neat. I'm going to have to get one of these.
What, the lady back scratcher?
No, just the fact they have different attachments and they telescopic little.
I haven't shopped for a back scratcher in a while.
Yeah, I can get a 5-pack for $9. I can have one here, one at home, one in the car. It's going to be great.
It's all coming up, Wheeler.
Look
once
at that.
Again.
Yeah, once again.
It'll be here tomorrow.
I feel like you brought this up to bait me.
You don't need any bait at this point.
Do you need?
We even have people on Twitter going, I think Ronji's a little too obsessed. Big Blonde Dan has noticed your obsession.
Well,
With what?
With Kevin's biceps.
Oh, I got you.
Are your arms too big to be able to reach your back? Is that the problem?
Well, I also have alligator arms.
Oh.
So I have a combination of
big and short.
Short and wide.
Short and wide.
Yep.
Short and wide.
You know, the characteristics that everybody traditionally thinks of as really hot for guys.
The most attractive.
Short and wide.
I like some really swole T-Rex arms. So they can't scratch my nose.
This is why I like Godzilla so much. I identify with, he'd be angry. You'd be angry all the time, too, if you can't reach anything.
Your arms kind of look like legs.
Short legs.
Yeah.
My ideal baby man, legs. Short arms, too jacked to put them to a side. My ideal man.
Yeah, you sort of look like one of those kangaroos.
Can't resist.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Kinda. It might be how I should fight.
Yeah.
Just lean up against the wall and kick.
I just like that you're a 52-year-old man thinking how you're going to fight.
You never know. You got to be prepared. Do you want to get caught and a fight comes up and you don't know what to do?
He's like Batman in the Justice League. We look in his desk drawer and he has a detailed list on how to beat all of us up.
In fairness,
if
Dave,
we should ever turn against him.
Dave has a bad left knee.
Yeah.
In fairness to Kevin,
Andrew, afraid of bees.
Dave's having fantasies where a hitman comes in, takes out Rachel first.
Yeah. Right.
And then Dave slowly
bleeds out and dies.
Yeah. Well, everyone's so sad.
Yeah. That's not my fantasies.
I thought you were the hero.
I am.
But he's the hero that dies.
He saves everyone but me. I'm dead.
Yes.
Yeah. You die.
They
get shot in saving the rest of us.
Yes, correct.
Right off the bat.
Yeah.
And then Wheeler gets hit.
So it's the hero martyr fantasy.
Because Wheeler's about to be the hero, but he gets winged. And so it's all up to me.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, in fiction, the hero has to pay a price and a sacrifice. It just doesn't necessarily have to be his.
It's like the end of Gladiator, right? I mean,
the hero
is not going to make it sometimes.
Conceal the wound.
Yeah.
That one?
Yeah.
Okay.
In this case, though, the hero does make it.
Well.
And somebody else dies.
My mom really appreciates you saving my life.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dave.
Tell her she's welcome.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Haven't spoken to my mom about it.
I'm not doing the shooting.
It's not his fault, though.
I'm shocked when you get shot.
Dave's like, oh, no.
Your death takes him by surprise.
It saddens him.
Yes.
And saddens him.
Dave looks over his shoulder and scoots a little to the right.
Oh, no.
that's all right. That's
do you think
right.
the assassin, now that Kevin is huge, do you think the
yeah, this changes the whole thing.
Yeah, it changes the calculus a bit. Does the assassin go to him
say
first,
it might.
Though?
It might be no, the best move.
No, because I think he thinks he's going to be easy to hit.
But here's part of the problem, though. Well, here's part of the problem, though, is that where they're coming from, Ron, you're taller than me, and you're usually in the way. They won't even see me.
That's probably true.
Okay, let's just be real. Me dying makes the least amount of sense. I'm the farthest from the door, the most equipment in between me and the shooter. Like,
you might be the target.
And you think that I'm like the biggest threat in the room? Like, oh, I got to eliminate her.
But you do have the controls. If they want this to go out over the air, if they take you out, then it's going to go out over the air because nobody else has the controls.
Right. And Andrew's just watching.
I'm over here. They don't.
He's under the desk.
They don't even know I'm here.
Yeah, and he's like,
under the desk. I'm not here. They can't even see me.
Do you just make a run for it for real?
I'm just watching, like, oh no,
like
this is crazy. Down. Oh, Dave got him. Okay, Dave got him.
I can run.
You kind of get halfway up, and you're like, oh, Dave's got him.
I was worried. Dave got him though.
Why I oughta? Oh, it's fine.
You know, you do raise a good point because maybe Rachel is the target. And the rest of us are witnesses. Like, you can't leave witnesses.
Witness / heroes.
Yeah, that's what it is. Right.
Witness / people who will get vengeance upon you in the dark of night.
Avenge me.
Rachel's last. We all knew that would be Rachel's last words. Avenge me.
Yeah, in some context.
It's all about vengeance.
And then does your fantasy continue to the funeral? Where you are hovering and watching everybody.
No.
Okay.
No, that's a separate fantasy.
It's a different one. Yeah. The judging Overwatch. Who's not sad enough.
Yes. Yes.
That person's looking at his watch.
That's one where people are like, we need to pull this together for Dave. He wouldn't have wanted this much crying. And I'm like, actually.
I agree. He's like, a little more would be better.
Isn't that what Tom Sawyer did?
I thought you meant the Rush song.
Today's Tom Sawyer. He cries about you.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Can you guys redo the weird conversation you had at lunch where you were both saying the chicken tasted too much like chicken?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I get it.
What? Now, I had a wonderful chicken tortilla soup at lunch today, and it was good, but then they gave me a lot of chicken. Like, it was basically a bowl of shredded chicken with a splash of soup. And I don't know, just midway through the chicken, it just started tasting too much like chicken to me.
Yeah.
It was way too chicken-y.
Been better if it tasted like frog legs.
I don't know what I wanted it to taste like, but it was too chickeny. I had to tap out.
And then
at that
Andrew
point.
Was like, "Oh, I know. Sometimes I'll get a roasted chicken, which I don't believe. I get a roasted chicken, and it just tastes so like a chicken that's been roasted."
Yeah, slow roast this chicken.
You've never bitten into a chicken, and you're just like, "Ooh, yeah, I could tell that's chicken."
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, every time
this.
That's why I bought it because it's going to taste like chicken.
Are you saying that sometimes if you get a chicken that isn't very good, it's kind of gamey?
Yeah, it's too
gamey.
Is that what
you're talking about?
Yeah,
too chickeny.
And sometimes when I'm eating a steak. If I think about the fact that it's just like a slab of cow, I'm like, all right. But I still power through with that.
I'm a steak. That's what I always think.
Right. Someone
can
make
a T-bone out of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to alarm you, but I bet the chicken was just reheated from something else and maybe it was old.
Maybe. That's probably why they threw it into the soup.
In the soup just to cover it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Is that what you guys did at the naughty store or wherever it was?
The naughty store?
What?
Wherever it was that you just insulted people all day instead of working?
Oh, I was like, is he talking about Lover's Lane or something? What do you?
Dick's Last Resort.
Okay. Yeah.
The
naughty
store.
I didn't remember what it's called.
It's not that kind. It's a restaurant. Andrew.
I didn't make the food. I just served it.
Mm.
With an
side of attitude.
Yep.
The naughty store.
Yeah, how did you get naughty store out of that?
I couldn't remember what it was called. But I did think it had an obscenity in it, and I didn't want to say it.
It's a guy's name.
Yeah, okay. Guy something.
Wow.
You've never met a guy with that name before?
No, I have. I still don't want to say it in reference to this
restaurant. Dick Butkus.
What? Yeah, Dick Butkus.
Okay,
Great guy.
Sure, go for it.
Great guy.
Guess whatever you want.
We're saying it a lot now.
I mean, it's a guy's name.
Guess his butt. Guess whatever.
You know, I kind of wouldn't mind working at a naughty store, though. Just for a couple days, see what it's like. See what people come in and request. And then I have to be like, it's over there.
Man, you know? If I walked into the store and saw you behind the counter, I'm just turning and walking out.
Why?
Like Grandpa Simpson.
Why?
With the hat.
You don't think I know what to do?
Walk in, put the hat, take the hat, walk back out.
You don't think I know what to do.
Is that the deal?
Son, I know what to do. You just come on in. Check out aisle 7.
I guess you're well taken care of.
That was my very first live client 24 years ago was Priscilla's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was doing lives.
What were they in the ad? Like, what were they touting? There's got to be something that they're like, oh, come by and check out our line.
I will tell you off the air.
Okay.
Because what I said on the air, I can't say. But in my very first live, I said it because it was in the copy. And my boss, who is incredibly conservative and very worried about me because I had no experience on the air. And they really didn't want me to do live endorsements, ironically, which has become like my thing. And my very first one was for Priscilla's, and I read the copy, and it was pretty out there.
Do they have the adult toys that Rachel was looking for on eBay?
They did, yeah. And they had a sale on one of them. So,
oh,
hey, yeah.
Interesting.
Half price for just the torso.
Refurbished.
I wasn't looking for it. It found me. It found the show.
Just ordered like the back scratchers, by the way. So like be here tomorrow.
Sweet.
Like the cat distribution system. Like, hey, it found me. I don't know. Who rescued who, really?
The cat distribution system.
Hey, you haven't heard this?
No, what are you talking about?
Oh, it's a long-standing thing on the internet. The theory that you don't find a cat. Like, you don't go looking for a cat. A cat just kind of comes to you. You just kind of stumble into it. That's what happened to me. Somebody in Florissant found Gigi in a trash can, and they brought her to Megan's work. She was working in Florissant at the time. And they brought her in, and somebody needed to take it, and Megan and Gigi fell in love with each other, and Gigi jumped on Megan's shoulder, and she knew right away, oh, I'm taking this cat home.
So just cats? Not dogs?
Yeah, just cats.
I've found my cat on the internet.
Well, there goes that theory.
And Rachel's like, I actively searched it out.
Yeah, I was looking for the cutest possible cat.
I made a very careful decision.
Well, Rachel,
I looked at multiple cats and chose this one.
Maybe Lucy called out to you.
Yeah, well, yeah, definitely. I saw her picture and I was like, I can't believe no one has taken this cat. She's so beautiful. And then I went and I got her.
Some love stories are better than others, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys had a meet cute.
Yeah. Some people have a meet cute. People just go to the shelter, I guess.
Meet cute's what you call it in movies when the couple meets for the first time in some adorable way, like they're walking their dogs.
I don't watch those kind of movies.
Yeah, I know you don't. That'd make you weak.
Have you ever
No, it's just boring.
You ever one time watched a romantic comedy?
Yeah, I'm sure. Like, you know, early on in the dating process, you got to do those things.
What do you remember which ones you watched?
When Harry Met Sally.
Probably had to watch
Sleepless
that one.
Sleepless in Seattle.
I don't remember. Yeah, is that the one?
Yeah. While you were sleeping?
Is that the Tom Hanks one?
Tom Hanks, yeah, Meg Ryan. Saw that.
So now you're past all the cootie stuff.
Yeah.
No, yeah. We just have an agreement. Like, I don't ask my wife to watch movies I know she won't want to watch, and she doesn't ask me to watch things that she knows I don't want to
watch. Here's how I would take down Tom Hanks in hand-to-hand combat in this
scene. Oh, Tom Hanks would be easy.
What would it take for you
but
to watch?
But he's so nice. Why would you want to?
Kevin, to watch one Hallmark movie and pay attention to it.
Lots of money. Or like...
I actually subscribe to the Hallmark Channel.
It actually does pay lots of money.
Maybe, you know, like maybe a free meal would be probably enough. You know?
Like there's a quiz later and you have to know what happened.
Yeah, I mean, you know, provide food.
And you can't
maybe.
Be grouchy about it.
Oh, then it's over. I'm going to be grouchy about it.
He has no heart.
I just get bored really easily. Need action.
There's action.
There is.
Yeah, sometimes they go to the ice skating ring.
They get caramel apples.
We're going to go to the craft fair in this episode.
Usually someone's about to buy the family farm or something. And they have to
movies don't
do
have
whatever
that,
it so. Takes to keep it.
123 DGS. I'm just looking at our show prep today. I never look at this part of the show prep, but it was like the birthdays and all these rockers turning 60 and 65 and things like that. And I was thinking to myself, and I promise this isn't autobiographical, like, how do you stay cool as an older person? And the only thing I can come up with is you just don't try. There's nothing worse than an aging person trying desperately to stay cool. Does that make sense?
So there's a, you know, the band Ides of March?
No.
Okay. It's Vehicle, I think, is their big song.
Okay.
If you heard it, you would know what I'm talking about. There's like six of them, right? And they used to, when I was working for the White Sox, they would come and, because they're local, they would come and play before games like probably 3-4 times a year. And all of the other guys looked like just old men, dressed like old men with big jeans. And you know, they just looked like older men.
Like dudes.
Except for the lead singer, who was still leather pants, leather vest, purple hair. And it was like, okay, all right, that's what we're doing. But it was such a contrast from the rest of them.
Yeah.
But he kept doing it. And as far as I know, he still does it.
If you do that, if you still try to work the long hair and the clothes, at some point you look like your 75-year-old aunt.
Yeah, kind of.
Right?
Yeah. It was a really weird, you know, dichotomy. Just looking at all of them, and the rest of them slipped nicely into old age, except for this dude.
It is an interesting question, especially with music, right? Because if you're trying to sell new music, well, then you have to be new in some way. But if you're just, hey, we know our best days are past and we just want to play the hits for our fans, that's a completely different vibe.
I'm so happy that I've lived in this era because I get to continue. My old age outfit is the same as my 20-year-old outfit.
Yep.
Right? Like my dad, evidently, like he wore Dickies, you know, those
pants, the work clothes.
You pull up to your nipples.
Oh.
And the tidy whitey shirts and things like that. Oh, yeah. Chris showed me a picture of the band. Yep.
Lead
singer syndrome.
I say they tend to be the ones that have that problem, right?
But we lucked out. We can just wear jeans and t-shirts for the rest of our lives.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. Our age range works pretty well.
Yeah.
It's also fascinating to me, too, though, is that who are you trying to be cool to, right? Because young people are never going to think you're cool if you're 65. If you're 25 and you look at a 65, you're not going to be like, that guy's so cool, because it's not what you identify with. I always thought that the coolest people, what you just said, the people that just, they're who they are. They don't care. They're not going to try. They're not tryhards. You can be fashionable and still be a tryhard, right? If you're keeping up with things and all that. But if it's not who you are, if you're just doing it because you think it's going to make young people like you, well, then it's not going to work.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't set any sort of expectations or precedent for dressing nicely.
Oh, Sam. Yeah.
Right?
Me neither. Yep.
Yep.
Because when you do,
who needs that?
Everybody's like, oh, hey.
Yeah.
This guy.
He cleaned up nice.
He's buttoned up.
Yeah. Rach is the only one that even takes a swipe at it.
I know. She's good at it.
Yeah.
Thanks. But then if you do show up and like you're not wearing makeup the day or something, people are like, are you sick?
You okay?
Is you okay,
Rach?
Okay? If you need to go home, it's fine.
Rachel's really mad. 132 DGS on Camo X. Happy Friday. I hope you guys will get this next little topic I have. It's going to sound like I'm bragging, but I think you'll get it. You know, Phoebe's 19, about to be 20, and in her sophomore year of college. And is she going to do the law school program? Or is she going to go into clinical psychology? Is she going to this? Is she going to that? And she doesn't do a lot of like, hey, dad, can you give me advice? But, you know, we've had like the talk where it's like, you can do anything you want to do. And I'm not the kind of dad that's like, you can be president, because you can't. But within reason. Right.
Yeah.
And what I was thinking about is I've done fine financially, but there's no doubt in my mind at 60 that at 20, if you would have said, can you be a multimillionaire? I would have said no chance. And I would have meant it. I would have passed the lie detector test. At 60, I realize I could have, because I have friends that have done it. And some are more talented than me. Some are more intelligent than me. But I think I have the requisite intelligence and talent to have done it. I just placed my energies other places. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
But when you get to this age and you look back and you realize, within reason, you really can do what you want to do. If you want to be rich, that's where you put your focus. If you want to have a family, that's where you put your focus. If you would just want to have a great time, that's where you put your focus. You want to be a traveling vagabond, that's where you put your focus. And it sort of screws you up a little bit to kind of realize, oh, I actually, because at 20, I didn't even aspire to that, which was a relief. Like, well, I know I'm not going to be a multimillionaire, so let's see what else I can do. And then you get, not at the end, but you get toward the end and you go, oh, that really was an option. Am I making any sense?
Yeah.
And there's empowerment in that. There's wanting your kids to know, hey, Phoebe, if you want to be very wealthy, you can 100% do it. That just means that you're going to give up other aspects of your life. But it just hit me like a ton of bricks last night, sitting there thinking and writing out my notes for the show today, that, oh my God, it was basically true. When people told me, you can do what you want to do. They just didn't say it in the correct way, the realistic way, that you've only got 10 buckets to fill up with water, and you can fill two of them up completely and have nothing in the other eight, or you can put them equally, or you can emphasize this or that. And I just didn't emphasize being rich. And I don't regret it, because I'm a slacker. And it would have, I mean, I am, and it would have gone against my, I'm not the biggest effort guy you're going to meet. But it was interesting to think that.
I would say it's true for the most part. I think that for some people, there are probably some outside factors that really stand
in the way. Well, I couldn't have played professional baseball. I couldn't have played professional basketball.
Right. So when we take out just the super low percentage outcomes, right?
Yes.
Like, you're not going to be Elon Musk. I mean, he is, and somebody is, but the percentages are just super low.
Yes.
But there's a range in the middle where you can definitely be any of those things.
Yes. Like Rach. You know, you're 33, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could be a multi-millionaire.
Yeah, you have time.
How?
Stop doing this. No.
First, walk out this door. Yeah. Don't come back. No, but you're young enough that you have your whole life ahead of you. You could absolutely do what you wanted to do. You just would have to prioritize other things.
Yeah, and it's funny, like, it's a conversation that's come up, not in any kind of confrontational way, but it's just always been something that my dad brings up, or because my dad had to grind, right? He did not have the choices that I had when he was 18, right? He didn't have I'm going to go to a big college and play sports, or I'm going to pursue a radio thing. He didn't have that. He had to grind. So he had to grind it to join the army during the middle of a war. And then he luckily didn't get assigned to combat. But, I mean, he was stationed overseas for a year, had to go through the whole process. And then after that, had to grind every day, you know, worked his way up through one job, moved on to UPS, worked his way up through that company. But it was a grind every day. And I do think that impacted how I saw things going the way that I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to have to work 14-hour days. I watched how miserable it made him and how hard he had to go. And it's not that I don't work hard. I do. I don't think you can get into this position without it. Because, you know, unlike a professional baseball player, there are tons of people who have the talents that we do, right? There aren't very many physical limitations. You know, there are for professional athletes to do radio, to do TV. There aren't a lot of physical, things that would kind of weed people out, right? A lot of people can. But I knew from the time I was in high school, my goal was to enjoy doing what I do every day, regardless of what it was. And if that meant I got rich, great. If it meant that I didn't get rich, that's fine too. But I can look now and say that every day that I've been a professional, I've enjoyed coming to work. I've never looked at work like I can't do it.
I had things I wanted to do. Like, this was one of them. Ron, I don't know if you know this story, but in seventh grade, we had to do a book report for Career Day. And on the front of it, you had to draw a picture or to find a picture that represented it. And I did a thing on how I wanted to be on the radio. And I drew a picture of Mark Close, who's the only person I knew what he looked like from billboards, sitting at a KXOK studio. And then 40 years later, Mark was on my show. So I knew kind of the genre I wanted to do. I just didn't think anything was possible. Some of it attributed to my mom and dad, who were very much like, keep your head low. Don't ever try to stand out. Don't be special. Just, you know, fit into the crowd and run this time out. But also, I just didn't have a great deal of confidence. I used to go by the Career Center, you know, at SIU, and look at the postings and be like, not me, not me, not me. And it wasn't like, I don't want to do it. I just didn't think that they would hire me. I thought, other than picking something heavy up, no one's going to pay me to do anything.
Yeah, I've always struggled with knowing exactly what it is that I want to do, and I've always felt very jealous of people who were 9 years old and said, I know exactly what I want. I know I'm going to do this when I get older. Or even people who were 18 and said, I know exactly what I want to do with my life. And I don't know that I ever had that until I started doing this. And then I realized, okay, this is probably the right place for me to be.
You lucked out. We both did.
Yeah. I wish that I was one of those people who had more certainty about anything when it comes to a career. And I'll be honest, I think that I'm right, but I also don't know. Maybe this wasn't right for me. And what if, you get bounced and somebody tells you that you can't do this anymore, then what?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I really honestly don't know what I would do if I'm not doing this. Which is kind of a scary thought.
Eat my hat after 24 years of telling people how bad of a lawyer I was and be like, I'm just kidding.
Totally, I can do law. I
totally made that up.
I can do law.
That's just what I wanted you to think because I'm such a good lawyer.
Yeah, right. Rach,
so
what about you?
I convinced you.
As far as like knowing what you wanted to do.
Oh, I definitely did not know what I wanted to do. Just kind of ended up doing radio. I do like it a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really enjoy it, but I'm exactly like Chris. Like, I think all the time, like, well, what if I get fired? Like, I have no other skills. So what would I go out? I mean, I have two associate's degrees, but that people want a bachelor's degree to give you any kind of career position.
You ever think about going back and finishing it?
No, because it's so expensive to finish, and mm-hmm. If I were to go get a bachelor's, it would be in like communications, and I've already worked in that field for so long. It just feels silly to go get a piece of paper. It.
You should be allowed to trade in two associates for a bachelor's.
I agree. You know, I think that math makes
that's
sense.
Common sense.
Or two bachelor's for a master's?
Exactly.
Yes.
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. 4 years.
I keep waiting for someone to give me one of those fake doctorates.
Yeah, like an honorary
doctorate. Like they gave Cosby.
Well,
and a bunch of other people.
Maybe a better one than that.
But Dave, like you said, like, oh, Rach, you could be a multimillionaire. Like, I'm not joking. Like, I don't see a path towards that in my life.
Yeah,
I don't have a degree unless I like become. I honestly, I don't know how I would achieve that at this point. I really don't.
I wouldn't have either.
You would have to find something that you're interested in that you're willing to do basically 15 hours a day. Because that's when I look at people that make money, you know, that make that kind of money. And I can use my brother as a bit of an example because he kind of did the change in his 30s from what he was doing. He had worked for Turner down in Atlanta, like a little bit of CNN. But when they did the CNNSI, remember they had the sports thing. Mm-hmm. He did a little bit of that. And he did he actually did the in-flight videos for Delta. He was on screen. I looked up on a flight once. I'm like, oh, my God, my damn brother is on the thing. But then he switched. He decided he was going to do something else that he really wanted to do, which was hypnotherapy. And it's been massive success, success.
One of my most successful buddies I have, Scott, who I talk about a lot, ended up doing crazy well. And his business was, you know, the point of sale things, just stick your little card into and the chip reader. At the height of it, his company was selling and repairing about 75% of those in North America.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the way he got into it. When he was in college, he and another buddy had a business blacktopping driveways. And he went to a guy's house and asked if he could blacktop his driveway. And I guess he did a good enough job selling him on it that the old man said, here's my card. Come see me when you graduate. And that was this guy's business.
Oh, wow.
And he literally went and applied for a job when he graduated, and that's what he ended up doing.
That's great. Oh, wow.
Isn't that nuts?
Yep.
Yeah.
How that worked?
But it's also a good lesson. Like, be on your game all the time.
Keep your
eyes
open.
You never know who you're talking to and what it might mean.
Yeah, but you could be on your game every second of every day and still never come across that opportunity.
Also true. No, that is absolutely true.
You know?
100% true. 100% true.
Like, there is definitely a lot of just, like, right place, right time that comes into play.
Yep. I would put myself in that in a lot of ways. And I can think of all the steps that if I hadn't done this one thing. Just to give you one. I was scheduled to work a shift at Houlihan's at the Schaumburg Mall up in Chicago area.
Houlihan's.
Yeah, it's great. It's a terrible job because people were mean. But, no, it was good. It was fine. And it paid good money. You made good tips there. It was a pretty nice area. I was scheduled to work a shift. I didn't want to cancel the shift to go to, job fair, a radio job fair at the Broadcast Museum, which is in downtown. And my wife basically said, no, you need to call in tonight and go, because how else are you going to meet people? And I met a guy named Henry Henderson, who at the time was the senior producer at The Score in Chicago. And they didn't have any jobs, but he referred me to the next place, which is where I got my first job. Hmm. If I don't take that shift off and go, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
I went to take Maureen to lunch back in 2000 when they were putting 97.1 on the air. And I walked by a conference room with Stephen DC and Jeff Allen and Rick Bayless and a bunch of guys, and like flipped them off or something. And they came out and said, do you want to do a show?
Huh.
And they said, would you do it for free? And then Patty McMahon said he owes us $8,000 and he's not making payments, which was true. And John Beck, who'd like a second father to me, who I love to this day, said, we'll take $100 off your bill every day you stay on the air. And that's how I got into this, like an indentured servant. Yeah. I mean, talk about that. Had I said, oh, Maureen, I can't make it to take you to lunch today, they would have found someone else to put on the air.
What if you had been paying your bills? Would they have made the same offer?
Probably not, because they weren't going to pay me anything.
I mean, that's crazy.
Thank God I was such a floater. Welcome back, guys. DGS and KMOX. If you are listening to the venerated 1120 AM, you can do better than that. You can listen to 98.7 FM. Sounds much beefier and more full sound. Best thing you can do is download the Odyssey app at odyssey.com. Just click the Listen Live button. You can pause it. You can rewind it. You can podcast it. Right next to that is a little microphone icon that you can click on, and you have 60 seconds to leave us a message. Go straight to Andrew, and then if it's something relevant to a discussion, we're going to throw it on there. It replaces phone calls. And if it's something like, hey, I love the show, I hate the show, then, you know, we'll put the ones on that love us. So there you go. Mm-hmm. The ones that hate us never see the light of day.
Haters going to hate, never hate, hate.
Yeah, into right?
What are you going to do?
Haters going to hate.
So it's November 1st. It's going to be dark tonight at about 6:05. 1 week from today, it's 4:54. And on November 22nd, it's 4:43.
No.
Let's go. I'm okay with it.
You're okay?
Yeah, I'm all right with it.
Why is that?
It just doesn't bother me. I like the winter. I like the
fall.
That's
the most Wheeler thing you've ever said.
Yeah.
I don't care. It doesn't bother me. we're falling back this weekend, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, it never really bothered me. I've always liked the fall. I like the idea of, being
death
out.
And rebirth.
Yeah.
Oh, this is we get the extra sleep this week.
No, I mean, just being outside, and there's a little bit of crisp feeling, and it's on your face, and I love that.
Yeah.
Love it.
I love all that, too, but I want sunlight at the same time. I don't want it to be dark when I leave work. It's a bummer.
It won't be when I do.
Steve's like, hi, Steve. Sun's going down at 4:40. I don't know what you want me to say.
It's been dark for 3 minutes.
Isn't that the standard, right? It gets dark, we get to leave.
That's right. Then we'd have to stay until 9.
Imagine, no. But there was a time, though, like that's what dictated people's, day, was the rise and fall of the sun. It wasn't like a clock. It wasn't time. It's light. We got to go.
We gain an hour.
Because when it's dark, we're done.
I don't know what it is, but there's something comforting about a cool, dark night. So I don't know. I like it. I was born in the dark. I don't know what it is, man. I just like it. It's weird. I get it. I know it's weird. I know it's weird to like the cold, but I just do.
Do you dread the heat of the summer?
I hate heat and humidity. I hate St. Louis summer, like July, August, the 190% humidity. Awful.
You hate that more than a Chicago winter?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is saying something, because that cold, no thanks.
You can cover up, man. You can't do anything.
I know, but man,
there's oppressive.
True story. I serendipitously went to Chicago, took a sick day off when I was a lawyer to interview with Jenner and Block. And I got up to the Loop and it was like the middle of January and I got out of a taxi and the wind hit me.
Yeah,
and
I swear
to God, I got back in the taxi. What are they going to do? Fire me? I didn't even interview.
It's the Simpsons meme. Just walk right in and turn right back around.
The wind I can do without, but it always seems it's only that windy when it's freaking freezing up there. I don't know what it is, but the wind only blows when it's cold.
We did this yesterday. If you had to take a new person who'd never been to St. Louis to three places to show them St. Louis, where are you taking them?
I need time to think about that. Well, at least I'd taken a Busch Stadium.
Yeah, see, that was one of my answers.
That would be one.
Yeah.
I'd probably take them to the Soulard neighborhood because it's a. I think it's a really cool old neighborhood.
Take them to the market. Take them a couple
bars. Yeah, like it's just it's a really cool neighborhood.
How about the hill?
Oh yeah. And I don't know where on the hill, but somewhere on the hill. Because I will have this argument with people.
Six Flags.
When I tell them, we've got great Italian food. And I know that a lot of cities say that, but we legitimately have it. So when I make that argument to other people that our Italian neighborhood is as good as anybody else's, they don't believe me. If I took them there, they would.